Welcome to Owl Out in Block 5, the podcast for Gooners, by Gooners, and, well, it's the end of the season, and looking back, it could have gone better, but come on, boys, we came second!
Yay! Yay!
Second comes right after first!
Yeah, no, come on.
We won the rest of the league! Man City. I mean, it's quite surprising how many. I mean, like Pep Guardiola, when you look at his record, there is something special about that bloke. Arteta is cut from the cloth of him, and one day we will do it. That's how I feel.
It's just not the same cloth, is it?
It's not the same cloth. It's Spanish silk.
Who we got on tonight? Then,
Mikel Arteta was a cloth. What kind of cloth would he be? So we've got Stuart Izzard. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, Matthew. Hello, John. Hello, everyone.
Evening.
And we've got Granit Xhaka. Oh no, we haven't got Granit Xhaka on the show anymore. We've got John Ruben. Hello, John.
I don't know.
Well, there you go. So the season is over. I can't think. I mean, we've missed a few weeks. I think partly out of disappointment, partly out of all different things going on in our lives. But I think there was a tinge of disappointment that's led us to.
You know what? You get to a point where, you know what? The pressure was off. Yeah. Oh, the pressure's off. I can't do nothing. Let's just go and batter a team.
Yeah.
You know, and I said on the group the other way, you know. Lack of experience,
yeah.
Lack of strength in depth,
mm-hmm.
in that team, you know. And when the pressure just really got there, they fucked it. And that's what it really come down to.
Yeah,
not having a young squad, right? But it's like, you know, like when everyone said, oh, you can't, well, who was it who said it? What's his name? You can't win nothing with kids, right? And then Man United went and won.
Alan Hansen.
Yeah, but Man United... Yes, they had five or six youngsters, but they had a lot of other players
Steve
around
Bruce.
Them. They had Dennis Sirwin, Steve Bruce, Michael. They'd all won shit. You know what I mean? We got Zinchenko and we got Jesus, who was out for a big part of the season.
Mm.
And
Xhaka,
other than that,
Xhaka,
there's no one. No, but there's no one there that has won anything.
No.
You know, they're not used to this. It's about winning the mentality, and they've not won anything. They're not used to it. So, you know, 2-0 down away to West Ham, should have been 3-1 up, but 2-0 up against West Ham, 2-0 up against Liverpool, being 3-1 down to Southampton, getting battered by Brighton 3-0, losing away to Forest. Don't get me wrong, I said where I live, people I drink, people I work with, I didn't mind losing to Forest because this is where I am. So, but if we, I said to my mate, I said, you could decide the title. Now, if we had to win that game to have a chance of winning the title, would we have won it or would we have bottled it? I don't know. It's a difficult situation. You know,
it is, yeah.
We've done brilliant. You know, like at the beginning of the season, I had that bet for £8.50 for £1,300. It was Arsenal top four, Sheffield United. What do they do it in the championship? Top six, top seven?
United were the promoted, weren't they?
This is my bet.
Oh, right. Okay.
Sheffield United, top six or seven. I think it was MK Dons, top six or seven. Leighton Orient, top six or seven. And it was either Solihull Moors or Salford in the league below, top three. And I said my only risk was Arsenal, top four.
Yeah.
And they pissed it. I mean, Sheffield United pissed it. Leighton Orient pissed it. The other two lost. But, you know, I would have taken second at the beginning of the season. But to be that close with it all in your own hands.
Yeah, kind of sucks. They are superhuman, aren't they, City? I mean,
regardless of that,
12 games in a row.
Okay, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Put them out of it. All we had to do was just beat the teams we should have beat. You know, when you are 2-0 up against two teams, and you don't win them. Yeah. When you go, we took points off of every team this season, except Southampton, except City. The only teams we didn't beat were Southampton and City. Mm. How do you not beat the team who's at the bottom of the league when fucking even Forest beat them? Now, loads of people beat them. We got 2 points. That 4 points would have got us a lot closer. You know, it's just...
Yeah, but that's always going to happen, John, over a season. You look at certain games. I mean, the Bournemouth game where Reece Nelson's got back. We could argue the VAR decision against Brentford. That's just 38 games of football, isn't it?
We did.
Listen, we.
I don't hold with that Brentford one because there was still about half hour left.
But we faded away. I think when you look at, I don't think it's so much about the first 11. It's the fact you've got to keep trudging the same 11 out because you haven't got the backup of players. Not the quality that City. And let's face it, Man City, right? If Arsenal were playing in Spain or France or and accrued the points we did this season, we'd have probably won every other fucking title. The fact is at the moment that we've just got one of the greatest sides playing around us, and you can't really do a lot about it, unfortunately. When they tore Real Madrid apart, you know, in the semi-final, and they're going to win that Champions League, they're going to win the FA Cup, they're going to do the treble. Let's face it, unless something mad happens, they're nailed on to do it. Then absolutely, and I hope they do win the FA Cup Saturday, because that means that Arsenal will be in the Charity Shield final, because it goes to the second place team in the league rather than the runners up in the FA Cup. I'm hoping for a day out at Wembley in August. But listen, we might. I can't remember the last time we did do one of these. But if you go back to
I think it was just before Liverpool, wasn't it?
The last time when we did this a while back, I said a few weeks back when we did one last time, the time before, I said, we listened back to one of the years, I said, we don't have the squad. And I was told that's rubbish. I was told at that time.
No, you weren't. We all said we know that it's not going to happen. We all said that we weren't going to win. We all had that hope in our hearts, but we all knew that deep down that the job was going to get harder and harder as it went. So
it was the second youngest squad in the Premier League. And I think this will move on to conversations we'll have probably later on in this podcast, but it shows how good we were. But we did run out of steam, and that's because you are having to play that. We've got to add 4 or 5 players to that squad, but not youngsters. Not youngsters. Now they've got to be ready. I'm not saying we want old players, but we do want players that are coming into their sort of 24s, 23s, 25s, that sort of age.
And I'll tell you what I think, though, as well. I think that the difference that Trossard made when Jesus didn't play was massive.
Yeah.
And it got to the point when Jesus come back and you look at the first couple of games, you kind of think, yeah, you know what? I reckon we should have Trossard playing, really. You know what I mean? It was just something different.
It's interesting. I think, you know, I don't know whether something happened in terms of the way Jesus played and where he was playing in the side for the last 5 or 6 games of the season, including some of the times we couldn't get over the line against some of the other teams. He just wasn't the same player that we started the season off with. Now, whether he is the sort of player that can't take the pressure when the pressure's on, or he doesn't shine under the pressure...
He still was.
I understand that.
Back into the swing of things, but I get what you mean. Yeah,
I felt that, as you said, John, it becomes harder and harder when the pressure's on for you to get the results, to win that league, the job gets harder and harder mentally, and you need people who've done it before. You need people who are strong, or you need a little bit of luck. And we didn't, well, I mean, we had some luck against Brighton, against Bournemouth, to get away with winning that one. And you just felt like maybe maybe the results against Villa, or the results against Bournemouth, or even the Man United 3-2, that these results were like, is our luck, you know, is it, are we getting that little bit of luck? Are we getting over the line, winning 3-2? And in the end, it's sort of, we got found out that your luck runs out with those kinds of results. And
yeah,
I mean, I would even go back to the FA Cup game against City, where we did play quite well. I didn't say we were absolutely destroyed them or anything, but they were in their moment of their least confidence, coming back after the World Cup, behind us in the league, needing to get some confidence going, and it kind of helped them more than it helped us that FA Cup game. I kind of feel like I wish we hadn't have played them now, because that kind of almost set the stall out that we can obviously be
disappointed, yeah. But let's face it, Christ, we've just finished runners up to possibly the best side in the world, and you know that unfortunately they happen to be in our league. But any Arsenal fan, obviously, you know, we've all watched the games this season, we've seen what we've done. I mean, I think it's been fantastic. And yeah, okay, tinged with a little bit of disappointment at the end. But that's only because we put ourselves there.
Yeah.
You know, if it hadn't been for Arsenal this season, it meant City would have won this back in February. By about
30 points. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Agreed. You know, so, you know, let's just sort of take a step away from the doom and gloom and look at it and go, I'm going to say something now, right? So we had the disappointment last season of not finishing in the top four. Mm. And Mikel Arteta made sure that they didn't forget that, and they went again this season, and we did what we did. Because nobody in the football sort of press or anyone tipped Arsenal to finish in the top four this season.
No.
Right? So we've done that. And I just want to heap a bit of praise on Arteta, because he's the sort of man that won't let them forget. And yet you can only do it with the equipment you've got to do it. But he won't let those players forget next season that we lost the league. Do you know what I mean? And my prediction for next season is we will win that Premier League. Man City are going to win the treble this season, right? And they'll be a little bit complacent next season because they've won it all. And we will win the title next season.
I think
season.
A lot of it, though, Stuart, comes down that. To it comes down to who people buy and who we buy and who we manage to keep. I'd like to see Xhaka stay. Odds are he's off. It's a shame because I'd like him to stay. Well, I would like Balogun to come back, but Balogun's never coming back to us. He's proven himself. He's not coming back. He's kind of made rumbles already on Instagram. He's got no interest in coming back to Arsenal.
Well, John, at the end of the day, he's an Arsenal player.
He's an Arsenal player, and to be honest, he scores 20 goals in France. He looks like we've done the right thing, you know. But then when you've got a player that you've loaned out every single year you've had him, you kind of think, is he really ever going to do it for us? Well, I know Odegaard got loaned out by Real Madrid every year, and now he's staying in one place, and he's been fucking amazing this year.
Well, I'll give you another name, William Saliba. We loaned him out ever since we bought him, and look at what impact he's had on the team this year.
And look at the loss. But that's the other thing about us, you know, the fact that we don't have a decent defender. You know, Saliba goes out, and everything falls apart. because we literally do not have a decent centre back. When have we never had a decent centre back?
There, John. I'm going to disagree with you slightly because I still think Gabriel's a good centre back.
No, and I think he built up such a.
Yeah, no, okay. So what I was going to say, John, was I don't think Gabriel's a bad defender.
No, he's not. He's a great defender.
Him and Saliba built up a good relationship.
Yes, as a pair.
Then we lost that. Okay, so Arteta chose to use Rob Holding. I'm not going to slag Rob Holding off, but Rob Holding wasn't. As soon as we brought that Kivior in, straight away he looks a good player. He looks a good player, and okay, so he's got two sort of left-footed centre backs playing together, but he looks solid. He looks really solid. So probably the mistake from Arteta was playing Holding instead of Kivior, you know, and that's because Holding's obviously the more experienced. So there's lessons you learn over a season, isn't there? But I think that Kivior, as it comes through, I think I think he's done really well, and it's another positive for next season.
But it's what I said, though. When we had like Baldy, Adams, there was always Keown. Or when Keown was in the four, there was always Bold. For us to be challenging for the title with only two regular decent centre backs, and you don't have that third one to step in. Personally, I would have put Shevchenko as a centre back and put Tierney as the left back, because Tierney's a far better defender than Shevchenko is.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can look at the squad. I mean, whether we want to move on to who's going to go and who's coming in or whatever, but there's sort of you've looked at this season, and because if you just thought let's qualify for the top four, you sort of look at the squad and you think, well, it's decent. But if you're thinking now, right, let's go and win the title, then obviously with the likes of Man City, we're a long way short of that. But we've got, you know, if we go toe-to-toe 11 versus 11 with our best and their best, we can give them a go. But it's the fact that you can't really then change it. You look at people like Tomiyasu. Tierney's a fantastic bloke at going by and crossing and everything. But when you look at what Zinchenko's done, he's sort of moved in and let Xhaka go forward. So Arteta's got a different setup. You know, it's almost like you're going to lose a player purely because it's not his game. You know what I mean? And it's just Arteta moving it on. That's the thing. I just think that he will learn from it. And that's why I made the statement. I really do think we will go and win the league next season, because Arteta will go. He won't let them forget. He just won't let them forget. And it will be, you know, I don't know who's going to come in, but there's going to be a lot of players leave this football club in the summer. A lot of players that just aren't that pushed to win the title. And yet we've all loved them. We called Tierney a star, and, you know, Tomiyasu at times was fantastic. But they're going to go. They're going to go because they're not like Manchester City have got. You know, that's how I see it. I think Arteta's going to be quite ruthless.
But I think we need certain players to stay. We can't have our regular best players like just leave. Is Tomiyasu still injured? Well, no.
Yeah, but see, John, what I'm saying though is, if you had to name an Arsenal 11, right? So you go Ramsdale, Ben White, Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko. Okay, Xhaka's going to go. I do think Partey's going to go as well.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go.
Partey playing right back at the weekend, because the way it was set up on. That was weird.
So it might be that he doesn't go and he ends up being the backup right back. But, you know, take them. Odegaard's staying, Martinelli's staying, Saka's staying, Jesus is staying. So if you went through that, you've got that anyway. You've also got the likes of Trossard. Nketiah, I'm still not sure about. I know he's
got
fantastic.
To go. Honestly, he's got to go.
I would rather he left.
I think there's like
but what I'm saying is,
go on.
We're not going to lose the mainstay of that first team. What we've got to do, though, is we've got to add quality. I do like Kivior. I think as backup to Gabriel is fantastic. We need a backup centre half for Saliba. That's one. If we get rid of Tomiyasu, then we're going to need backup at right back. I do like that Norton Cuffey, who was on loan at Coventry. I think they made the playoff final against Luton, yeah, and they lost. But I do like him. I think he could come in. Why not? Arteta's
also young.
I don't
think Maitland-Niles will come back. I think Maitland-Niles.
No, he's gone, mate. He's gone. He's already said.
Oh, he's gone now?
Yeah. His contract runs out and he's going. I also think, you know, if obviously Zinchenko's staying, but if we do sell Tierney and Xhaka and Partey and whatnot, we've obviously got to bring in, you know, quality players.
That's a massive rebuilding, though.
Well, it's not massive. I think it's...
It's not massive.
What I was going to say was that I think that he is... He wants the team that he's built, and there are people in that team, even your Emil Smith-Rose and your Tierneys and your parties that aren't his choice. They're not the ones he wants. And you just know that he will want his players, the ones he wants, in that side. Now,
I think if we're going to get Declan Rice, Smith Rowe is going to go as part exchange.
I think you're right, John. I'm not so sure that really, I don't know whether we'll go to the sort of monies they're talking about. So it could well be, like you say, that we're going to have to throw him a player. Lots of rumours. I mean, don't forget, we only announced him as our new number 10. Was it last season, end of last season?
Yeah.
So do you know what I mean? And he's still a young kid. So you sort of think to yourself, lots of rumours that they've been sort of, in a Philip Schofield way, been grooming him to play as an under-8.
Bloody hell.
To play as the sort of number 8 to take the Xhaka role. I mean, there's lots of tinkering. I'd say for me, like, recruitment this summer has just got to be quality. I mean,
there's talk of, let's have a few names. So obviously Declan Rice has been banged on about. Bayern Munich are interested now as well, apparently.
I don't think Declan Rice is coming to us. I don't think he never will
there,
be.
There is talk of João Cancelo, who obviously Mikel Arteta will know well, and is a quality fullback. And we've had this issue at the end of the season where Partey's been playing at right back. Ben White's been tucking in, hasn't he? And it's I think that there's thoughts about a change for Ben White, whether he's concerned about his defending or I don't know whatever they're thinking about in terms of that right back position, or whether they're testing out Partey to play there. There was a bit of experimenting going on at the end, wasn't there? It may be to do with contracts or.
I wonder whether we're going to go to 3 at the back next season. Then,
possibly. We were leaking goals at the end of that season. You know, we were often letting in more than one goal a game, and that happened consistently over quite a long period of time, didn't it? We were always fighting against the goals.
But if you're pressing or you're attacking, you know, Thomas Partey can then slip in front of the other two, and if you've got decent, you know, midfield wingers, you know, wing backs, whatever, however he wants to do it. You can deal with it. If you've got someone that can just break that play up, you can put a lot more pressure on the opposition with that, because you're almost committing a bit of suicide, and you've got to be a little bit careful. But if you've got quality there, as you sent your two sort of centre halves that are A, left footed and right footed either side, and then you've got someone like Thomas Partey who can move from, say, the supposed right-back side of the three to go in front and protect and break up anything, then, you know, you are going to put – you're going to push a lot of people forward. It will cause teams problems. So I think he's always thinking, Arteta. That's the thing.
And there's a couple of people as well from the drop, isn't there? James Maddison's been talked about. Very like Odegaard, I suppose. You know, he's an attacking midfielder, really, isn't he? He's a strings puller.
And, without a doubt.
And that Wilfred, is it Notto from Leeds as a fullback? The Italian kid.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah.
Talk about him as well. I mean, it's going to be silly season for the next few weeks, isn't it? Until I think we'll do our business quite quickly, though. There's potentially a lot going out as well, which means I think they'll have to do quite a lot of business to get to clear the decks as well.
I think the clearing the decks bit, I think that might run up until the 1st of September when the transfer window shuts. I would just like to see, God knows when we're getting back together as a squad for pre-season. I'd imagine early July.
Yeah.
And then we go to America and we got Barcelona, Man United and different games out there. But what you'd like to see is that the big hitters that he wants in are done. So they all travel and get used to each other. You know what I mean? So that when you do hit the ground running in August, it won't be in place. But they're sort of... They're knowing what you don't want to be doing is signing Declan Rice on the 1st of September, or you don't want to be signing James Maddison, if that's the choice, you know? Get them in. I'm sure there's going to be a fire sale. Leicester City have got some quality players. I'm stunned they went down. But they've got some quality.
Mugrade 6 is a Leicester fan, and he said the problem is with the Leicester team is that there was a load of the good players out of contract that just didn't care, and therefore they wasn't bothered. They was going to go elsewhere anyway. He said how they didn't get to sign new contracts, which he felt was Brendan Rodgers' fault. He let the club down there by not talking contracts and all that sort of stuff. And he said they just didn't care. They just never gave a shit about it. And therefore, they just let their club get relegated. I just wasn't bothered about it.
Do you think that it might have been to do with the ownership a little bit that you?
I think it was.
Won the FA Cup, you won the Premier League. I mean, this is kind of everyone's dream, every Arsenal fan's dream, I think, would be now that Pep Guardiola wins the treble and he says, done it all. Thank you very much.
But, I'm off. And then see you get relegated next year.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Not that it's going to happen straight away, but they've still got all this financial fair play shit.
You know what bugs me about this, though? If you look at, who was it in Italy? They got docked, 15, 20 points. The lot that was in the championship. The lot in the championship or the first division? They got docked 20 points about 2 months ago. And then all this shit with City,
Derby County,
over 100 charges, and they just go, yeah, all right, well, let's just not worry about it. And that's it.
Let's not worry about it, and
let us carry on.
Do you know what, John? They reckon this could take up to 4 years to actually come to. And you're like, so Man City carry on then, pillaging, raping,
do
the
whatever
Premier
they
League
want.
And win another, let's say they win an average of a trophy every season for the next 4 years. That's another 4 titles of something that was unfairly won. I'm not saying this isn't bitter by any means, as an Arsenal fan.
Have Spurs ever been runner up to yourself,
Fuck off.
Just in case they get a fucking, they get a posthumous title handed to them.
No.
That would piss the Spurs fans off so much, right? Is if in 2 years' time they go, right, that's it. We're docking City 10 points for that year. Arsenal's got the league. After all this shit they've been giving us about this season, they go, yeah, we're scrubbing it. Do you know what they'll do? They will dock City, 5 points, and we still lose on goal difference.
Isn't the stat, though, isn't the stat that over the last 7 years, is it 7 years, Tottenham have finished above us in the last 7 years, which is obviously the best time Tottenham fans have had. Yeah. And yet they've won fucking no trophies and we've won four. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's sort of, if that's been their peak period, and they're going to be in a fucking mess. Even Schofield's turned the job down. He fears it will tarnish his career.
His reputation. You know,
I think
Harry Kane, you know what would be funny? We need a 25-30 goal a season striker.
Let's get Harry Kane.
We get Harry Kane. And he will be one of our own.
We saw him at the... at the bloody cup final, didn't we, when he was a kid?
You know, and the thing is as well, it's like, you know, he breaks the goal-scoring record as an Arsenal player.
It's not a bad shout, though. I mean, you know, if you're throwing 100 million
around. It's been done before.
We've done it before. We can do it again. Okay, right. Well, let's have a quick chat about who... So, I've got some of the seasons... awards to give out, and let's have a little chat about them. So let's talk about who the summer signing of the season was. Who was the signing of the season for you? Have a think about it.
I'm either going to go either. It's either for me. It's going to be either Zinchenko or Trossard.
Both really good shouts, John. Yeah.
Because I like what Trossard, he came in and just, because he was a Premier League player and Zinchenko was, hit the ground running, just did exactly what he needed to do. You know, he got a lot of assists in his first, what, he got 8 assists in his first 8 games or whatever it was, 9 assists, you know. And Zinchenko, I think Tien is a better defender, but going forward, he really wanted it, you know what I mean? He wanted it so much as well, so. Yeah. Jesus did well. Unfortunately, Jesus got injured. So.
What do you think, Stuart?
Well, for me, I know it's not a new signing, but it was actually putting a shirt on his back and calling him an Arsenal player, and it's been William Saliba.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Saliba.
William Saliba. For me. And I know he was obviously. But we'd not seen him in an Arsenal shirt in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So it was like having a new signing. But, yeah, Saliba's been absolutely immense. And like I say, take nothing away from Gabriel. I think the two of them, they just work together really well. And
his goal as well, that goal he scored.
Yeah.
At Bournemouth.
It's at Bournemouth, yeah.
How the fuck did he score that?
Yeah. What? And it just, for me, I just think, I think we said a little bit earlier on, you know, when he went out the team, you saw things change. And that's how big an impact he had. I know it's, you know, not that he's a side, but certainly, you know, a player that we've not seen witness play regular Premier League football for me, yeah, William Saliba, I just think he's been immense all season. And just a shame he did get a, you know, really bad night there. Yeah. Going out of Europe night. But, for me, William Saliba, I think, would be the signing we made without actually sort of paying any money, if you like.
I mean, I've written down here Zinchenko, I think probably because he kind of embodied a new spirit in the season. There's something that it's borrowed from City. But also the whole thing with Ukraine and the passion and some of those games where he was almost like a cheerleader for the side. I really loved his, you know, his personality, which he was a kind of, yeah, he's got that sort of, he looks a bit of a weak one, really, when he was playing for City. Like, he didn't always get into the side and he, you know, it looked like an odd choice for them. But for us, he seemed to have flourished. And his goal against Villa was absolutely superb, that moment. I really like that. Are you right? Saliba has equally had a massive impact on the team. And it's a shame that he couldn't see the season through. I wonder, we're left wondering, would we be able to hold on to some leads in those games where we ended up drawing 2-2, or, you know, if we had Saliba in the side,
I think if you look at the stats with Saliba and then without Matt,
it's quite startling, the average
goals per game were like something like 0.6 with him in, and then 1.7 or something without him. So it shows, you know, you're almost giving them a goal start every time. And that's, you know, you can't do that. That's the thing. And I think even Arteta, he said about, I've seen some interviews, and, you know, forward line, we're one of the best in the world. You know, I'd say in Europe, when you think of Saka, Martinelli, Jesus, Trossard, you know,
we scored the most goals in a season that we've ever scored.
And you throw in Odegaard. Obviously, he's been fantastic. But when you sort of look at that, and to a point, Nketiah, when he came in, he did well, and even Reece Nelson with his bits. You know, my forward thinking isn't thinking now. It's just shore that defence up. And like I say, I do think we need to tip two or three out of there. Tomiyasu, I think maybe Tierney, and Rob Holding. And bring in two big hitters for those. Maybe not Kieran Tierney, because I don't want to see him go. But if he's not fitting into his plans, then... But I think that side of the pitch is great. It's the back bit that cost us. And I think all the time we had Saliba in that side, we just looked...
We said it earlier in the season, didn't we? It's like it felt suddenly we had two centre-back pairing that you could totally trust. And I wish I hadn't said it now, because it was like as soon as it broke down and Saliba wasn't there, it made a massive difference. And
I remember watching the Bournemouth game, and that was early, was it September time? Or it was quite early in the season. I just remember watching it, and, you know, it's a potential trip hazard game in it away at a little ground, and you just think that's traditional Arsenal, will go there and lose. And we had such a good game, and they were already chanting the select. And then he hit that banger, and it just went even louder. And I remember watching the. It was either BT or Sky, I can't remember. But you could just hear when the game had finished, it was just going mad, the Arsenal away. And you just thought, well, everyone's falling in love with him, not because of that goal, but because of the way he defended.
It's something we've been missing for so long, really, isn't it? Because we've had some fantastic centre-back partnerships over the years. You don't have to even look that far back, but... Even the sort of all the 2010s, the, you know, I don't know, your Vermaelens and your, you know, Koscielnys and stuff, they've never been 100% dependable. But these two.
No, and he's a big lad.
The thing with Gabriel
and Saliba, they're both big lads, but they're very. Nimble, you know, that when you talk about like Keown's and Bolds and Adams, they were big lads and they would get stuck in. With Saliba and Gabriel, they get stuck in, but equally they are nimble on their feet, you know. Saliba's is.
Should we get back to the question?
Yeah, sorry. Well, I said Saliba, so
which and me and Matt said Zinchenko.
So well, we've seen Shenko get it.
On a technicality.
I'm just going to go off cuff every time, John.
Yeah. What about the most improved player this year? Who's impressed you in their development? Who do you think? I'll give you mine. Xhaka.
I was just going to say Xhaka.
I don't know.
Thing is, though, the problem is as well, though, I actually feel Martinelli.
Oh, he's wow, yeah.
He's threatened to do well a lot of times. And this season, he's just been down that left wing. I mean, I remember when we used to have, like, Henri down that left. It was unplayable. Martinelli's almost very... There is the odd person who will catch him. But there's very, very few. He's been fucking brilliant.
I think you would say every single Premier League team would have him in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, for maybe Man City.
And I think you're right. It's kind of, he has turned it from promise into actual results. You know, he scored goals, he's set goals up, he's been a menace. I just remember that Liverpool game at home. He was all over them.
Turned Alexander-Arnold inside out, basically.
It was a great season. It was... did he have injuries this season? I can't remember, really. Because obviously we had Trossard as a backup, and there were times when Trossard...
He's had the odd game where he's not played, but there's been times when he should have scored goals but didn't.
Mm.
But overall, he's been brilliant. Oh, I think he's been fantastic. I really do.
I think you should have been on the fucking swally, haven't you?
Well, go on then, what'd you say?
Well, neither of you are anywhere fucking near it. You're nowhere near it.
You're going to say Saka, even though Saka was really good last year.
No. Right.
What's that sound?
It's a drill upstairs or next door. Upstairs, and got upstairs.
Was it a dildo drill or just?
Yeah.
It sounds like the Elephant Man's having a wank.
It sounds like Jurassic Park.
It sounds like the Elephant Man's having a wank. My subscription to Brazers has run out.
Right, so you're miles away. So the first, not the one I'm going to say for it, but one, I think Aaron Ramsdale has been better than ever this season.
Okay,
I think he's got better. Some of the saves that boy has made this season have been absolutely phenomenal. Liverpool was a loss.
A game that we should have lost in the end because those last few minutes he saved us from losing that game.
He has been absolutely. You thought he was good last season. He's been better this season. Absolutely phenomenal. Some of the save he made against Bournemouth and. Some of the games, the things he's done. But for me, the player that's improved the most, Martin Odegaard.
Mm-hmm.
The boy's like a Rolls Royce now.
Yeah, but he was good last year.
He was, John. He was. But what I'm saying is, you look at why we finished second and not fifth. It's because of players like Ramsdale's saves, like Odegaard's contribution now. What's he scored? 15 goals? How many goals did he get last season? You know? And I hear what you're saying, Granit Xhaka. I hear what you're saying.
But, I'm joking, he didn't.
But Odegaard, the assists, the goals, he's been a proper... I'm not saying he's a leader like a Tony Adams leader.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying, the
thing for me is that I've written these questions like who's most improved. I've put Xhaka, and then I've put player of the season, Odegaard. I'm sort of asking the questions.
Okay, but you're asking who's got better from last season. Yeah. They all have, to be fair, because the last season, most of those players finished fifth. This season, They finish. But if you're talking about someone that, and especially with the sort of, I mean, we've had shit captains for years, haven't we? Mm-hmm. But for someone, like I say, he's not.
Well, they've always been injured.
Yeah, but he's not a shouter. He's not a. You know, he's not a Tony Adams. He's not someone that's going to get in your face. But he leads by example.
Yeah.
You know, and he has just got better. I mean, like I say, for me, most improved player. It's got to be Martin Odegaard.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to concede that for Odegaard. Well,
you and John are just ganging up. Right, go on, player of the season.
Player of the season. I mean, the other thing I would say is I wrote down here unsung hero.
Yeah, well, we all know who that is.
And go on then, Stuart. You go first this time.
Well, there's only one unsung hero, and that's Reece Nelson. And that's not just because of that goal. It was just about the day and the fact that, you know, to win that game with that goal, the way he did it, it was, yeah.
Now you're answering another one of my questions now, which is most memorable moment.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, sure. I mean, I'll absolutely unsung
I'll
hero.
Up.
I mean,
I'll shut up.
No, no,
I'll
John, most unsung hero for you.
Arteta.
Do you think? I mean, I
Arteta.
Literally, there is a song about him that's sung 10 minutes of every game.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
but I suppose he is at the
end of the day. End of the day with it. You know, all the players can take all the plaudits. And I just think he works tirelessly. He's never, you know, it's the players who take the plaudits. It's the players who go, he's done this, he's been brilliant, he's been that. But who's the person who brought them all together? Who's the person who's convinced them they can do what they can do or what they did? And it's Arteta. So, as an unsung hero, yeah, Arteta. That's my theory. But okay. I don't really mind conceding it to, you know, one bloke who's played a bit part of the season. He scored a good goal when we needed it. But, yeah, go on.
I mean, I put Gabriel, but, you know, I feel like actually the a lot of attention was on Saliba and stuff. But, you know, Gabriel he's kept fit, you know, touch wood. He's made his way through so many games.
He's made a couple of balls up, but he's always, he's mental. He's
mental. I felt like, you know, last season he would give away a penalty so regularly, and now he seems to have got better, maturer, take more responsibility when there's Rob Holding next to him or, you know, or someone else. He's been the one, the solid one. That's my theory. But I think, you know, we could all have our unsung heroes, but probably.
Do we need another hero?
We don't need another hero. Rest in peace, Tina. So I put most memorable moment. I think most memorable moment's the Nelson goal. We don't have to go into that too much, really, is it?
Yeah.
But what was your favourite goal? Let's talk. We don't have to have a prize for this. Just have to think about the season and what goal really stood out for you as your favourite goal. It might be the Nelson one, but I'll take that chance. I've got a different one. But what about you, John?
I didn't see it live because I was playing darts. But when I was, it must have been when I was playing the singles last year, and Big Joe from Newcastle, who's a Tottenham fan, just went, fucking, I said, what he said? You got to see this goal. So what goal's that? He said party.
Party's banger at the Emirates. Oh, that, yeah. I mean, he did it. Did he literally do it like the next week as well?
It was just, yeah.
That is an absolute cracker, that one. Stuart?
Favourite goal, as in the why or what it meant?
I guess anything or how it made you feel. I think I've got a couple.
Well, my favourite then, I'll put it out there, will be the Jorginho goal against Aston Villa.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it came off the back of Martinez's head. It was such a banger. It was such a banger.
And as a winner.
Stuffy, but I know I think Martinelli scored after it, didn't he? With a breakaway right at the death. But it was like, you just think, fuck me, it's all done. We're fucked up again. And then that comes out of there. For most enjoyment from a goal, the Reece Nelson one. But, that one, because I wasn't at the game, being at Aston Villa, it was just, you just got such a buzz out of it. It just seemed to connect everyone as well. They all seemed to get a big buzz out of it. And
especially as he was cheating half the time anyway.
It was loads of time wasting, weren't he? And all that.
Yeah. And for me, though, if you say about that match, for me, I loved it. He come up from the corner and he got fucked. I love it when those moments happen because it's very rare a keeper comes up for the corner
and ends in the goal, to them.
You know, and the fact that it happened in that game, that absolute bell end.
I think I posted up on like a little my betting group with a couple of mates, and I went, Agent Martinez has come to the, one's come off the back of his head, and then he's gone up for a corner, sat down, had a fag, and then, oh, fuck, they've scored again. So,
I've got a couple that I'm thinking of. One is, Saka's goal against Man United, where he cuts inside and drills it into the corner. I think my favourite was Odegaard's at Tottenham. Running forward, just hits it from way too far out, low and hard, and just that's the sort of goal that doesn't, like the Partey one. You sort of don't expect those goals, you know. You expect it to be crossed in, and it's just when they come out of the blue a little bit. And Odegaard has that ability just to hit one from the edge of the area or even outside the area, and for things to go right for him. And that one just was superb. I loved that goal.
And the other one, I've just thought about when you're talking about hitting one from just anywhere. And he has, obviously, I just want him to get a mention. But Vieira's
The one at Brentford, which, I mean, Brentford proved to be very difficult to beat at home. And he had a great game in that game, Vieira. That was early season stuff, weren't it?
They beat a lot of teams.
Well, they beat City at home. Yeah. Only team to beat City home and away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we dicked them. We absolutely... I remember one of my mates, because I posted something up. Was it a Sunday morning, lunchtime or early? And then I met him up the road and we had a beer. And I posted something. I went, fucking hell, seriously, we've just dicked all over Brentford. I've never seen such a one-sided game. And he went, sadly, neither have I, because he's a Chelsea fan. And you just thought, yeah, my God, we have. We absolutely destroyed them. But that Vieira goal was one to mention, I think. It was cracking.
I mean, just thinking of what... I know that we've talked a bit about City and the money and the financial things, but... things can go bad, even if you've got lots of money. And I know Chelsea have been through difficult changes in ownership and all that stuff, but they spent an infinite amount of money this year. And
they're utter dog shit.
Yeah, they did not create anything worthwhile for them. So it doesn't just...
got some decent players there who clearly none of them... at that point, really wanted to be at that club. They play well now, right? Because they'll get Pochettino or whatever. But at that point in time, it was almost a case of like, you know, they're just so bad, so bad. And how Mason Mount gets in the England squad and Ben White don't, fucking beggars belief.
Well,
I know they're in different positions, but
yeah. I don't think Ben White wants to play for England, to be honest.
And the
I think whatever went on at the World Cup was. I mean, I'm trying to think of the game. It's the game, the Man City game with Grealish and Foden, and giving it that to Grealish and Foden at Man City at the end of the game, and you can see that something's gone on with Ben White in England, because you would have him there, wouldn't
you? Definitely. Yeah.
I reckon he called what's his name with Phillip Schofield. The manager with Phillip Schofield, or they was having a three-way with Gordon the Gopher.
an end of luck.
Other weekend, is really Benny Blanco got married the other weekend. Yeah,
did he?
Yeah. Benny Blanco.
Benny Blanco. I love that. As I was going to say, he joins the likes of, is it Nicky Butt and who else who just don't like football? Like, Ben White doesn't watch football. He's no interest in football outside of
play. I don't think Graham Lasso did, he? Was it Graham Lasso? I think Graham Lasso had a great deal of interest in football or something like that. I can't remember.
Like, you just because you're good at it doesn't mean you like it.
It's just a job.
It's just clocking in.
It's like me working on cars. You know? I fucking hate them. I never watch a Grand Prix.
You're just thinking, bloody hell, four new tyres again.
Yeah.
Tracking's gone on that. Right.
But how about a little special mention for someone, only because if someone should listen to this, how about the Ian Huntley Award for the worst caretaker of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Lampard's got to fucking win that.
Oh, God, he was, I mean, that Greggs must have been busy, mustn't it, next to the Chelsea ground with old fat Frank back. Oh, God. He had more L's than, I'm trying to think of a funny joke. I can't think of a funny joke. I'm sure I've heard them.
But yeah, it was, they were, I mean, when...
More L's than that place in Wales that is really long.
Have we sorted out a goal of the season yet?
Oh, no, we haven't really, but... what about the one that Jesus scored, where he lobbed the keeper? Right, like about the third game in. Oh, was that against Man United? Did we play Man United? No, we can't be Man United.
Should we just go with Vieira?
Just go with Fabio Vieira's strike against Brentford. It was a cracker.
Yeah, it was a pace.
Absolute cracker. I mean, really, the Reece Nelson goal is the goal of the season. Not only for the importance, but it was an absolute blockbuster, wasn't it? He absolutely belted it. It was like reminding me of sort of Thierry Henry used to hit the ball. You know, it was never going to stop it, like that kind of strike. So we'll give it to him as well. He wins the best moment, the best goal, and the unsung hero.
He's won everything.
Right, and any other awards? What other awards do we normally give out?
Well, how about Player of the Season?
Player of the Season.
I'm going to go with Saka.
Saka?
I'll tell you what, he played games when he just... I'll tell you what, if he hadn't played some of the games he did, where he didn't have to play them, he might have not got burnt out at all, because he was a kid who looked burnt out come the end of the season.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. He seemed to go missing at the end.
He was playing in the FA Cup, going to League Cup games, Europa League games. You know, when a lot of the top players were taking a break, he was playing for England. And, I think he had, he's just been, everyone, I mean, I don't know if he's won a fucking Player of the Year award, probably not. everything's probably gone to City or some shit like that.
Well, Haaland, you can't deny Haaland will probably be the player of the year. The
young player surely has to be Saka. It's been absolutely awesome.
I mean, it wasn't just his goals, was it? He had like... They talk about goal involvements now and stuff, don't they? And like the assists...
And the fact that he stepped up and took penalties after missing the penalty in the bloody final.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think, well, fair play to you. You know, I just think he's been truly excellent this year. You know,
John, you've got my vote, mate. He's been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I mean,
there isn't enough money that we can give that boy to stay.
We've only given him 3 years, though. We've only given him until 27, haven't we?
I think there's... Are there, like, rules now that you can't do a Madrid?
No, there's a lot of... There's a lot of rumour that...
Who is it? Because someone's got an eight-year deal. Who has he got the eight-year deal?
That's Madrid.
Got an eight-year. Yeah, that's just Chelsea's trying to spread the cost.
Yeah.
But the Saka one, there's a lot of rumours that his agent... Arsenal have come out and said, no, that's not the truth, that's not the truth. But I think their agent, or his agent, sorry, wanted a... release clause put in it, and Arsenal weren't happy to do that. So what they basically did was just go, well, we'll put you on a short contract rather than, I think Arsenal wanted to sign him up for 6 or 7 years, and instead they put him on a 4 year. So you think, what's he going to be, 25 26? That's when big hitters are going to come in, so we'll have to renew it in another 2 years time.
Yeah,
but at least we haven't got this release clause. If you look at when we signed Thomas Partey, I don't think Atletico Madrid wanted to release him.
No.
But we went to the Spanish FA, we gave them the money, and they went, well, you've got to go then.
Yeah, so
what could happen with Saka.
If it was 200 million, you could imagine Chelsea just saying, okay, 200 we'll million then.
So you don't want to do that. So I think it's a bit of a standoff, if I'm honest. I think Saka will weigh up his options over the next two seasons. If we win the league or win a trophy or, you know, Champions League, who knows? He might look at it and go, do you know what? If Arsenal can offer me more money, I will extend it. It's all about the there and now, isn't it? It's keeping your options open. Man City could be relegated to the Conference League by then. You just don't know, do you? You just don't know. So I think at the moment it's nice to get him signed up and make sure he's staying. And then, you know, it's up to Mikel and Edu and the squad and everyone. Well, you know, it's not about one player. We've seen loads of good players come and go from Arsenal. And, you know, Saka won't be the last one that leaves that we might not have a tinge of disappointment with. But at the same time, it's still Arsenal Football Club. There'll be another player. And like I say, my lookout for next season, Norton Cuffey. If Arteta don't loan him, Norton Cuffey, we'll be talking about him. Be a quiz night, a Norton Cuffey quiz night.
Thinking about watching the championship playoff final, and
it wasn't the greatest. But no, he did well.
Was all right, yeah. Big boy, definitely.
He is a big boy,
and good up front as well. He seemed to get stuck in.
I think Matt, to be honest, probably more of a winger, but he is a bit big. So he works more if he drops back so he can win headers. You know what I mean?
He's that guy before off the streets.
What, the band?
No, we played him in the FA Cup final. What was his name? Oh, I've forgotten his name already.
Sonogo.
Oh, yeah. Who bought the wrong ya-ya?
All we need is Yaya Sanogo. Yaya Sanogo.
Why not? It'd be nice to see.
You know the thing with the FA Cup?
Is it? Yeah.
I had a dream beforehand.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I put a bet, because I dreamt it, he scored that trick. And we won 4-0. As soon as we were 2-0 down, I knew we were screwed anyway. So.
That dreams can come true, John. So the do you think that everybody's after a beast now? Then I'm being unkind to Haaland, but it's like everyone copies City, don't they? So.
I do think when you look Sandy against Wolves, Jesus, when he went out wide, and I know Saka was coming inside, do you know what I mean? They sort of changed places, but they're all sort of three of them are looking for someone bigger.
And
we're lucky because we've got players that can play decent football. But if you look, it was Xhaka that got the header. Yeah. I know it was a bit down to Wolves with the bloke who flicked it on towards Xhaka. But it was that sort of... You almost want Oliver Giroud back.
Yeah.
I was just going to say about Giroud. He's almost like, if we kept him and not bothered with Aubameyang, in this team now, he'd have an absolute field day.
He'd still be
missing three out of four. But
I'll get you, John. You're so right. He would have a fucking field day with this team round him. You know, with your Trossards, your Sackers. I mean,
it looks like we're hell bent on buying not forwards.
John was saying about how good Jesus was, and he was, but it was a bit different. It was a bit different, but the thing with Jesus is it's almost like we've given him the sort of Lacazette role where he doesn't get a lot of goals. It works hard.
He's banging goals in as well. He's got four. Is it four goals?
Yeah.
His team won 5-4. And he got four of them.
That's it. Yeah. But it does start.
Shows you how easy it is to score goals in France, doesn't it?
You think with Jesus, he's sort of being sort of he's not that main thing, and
he's not. Yeah, yeah,
that,
no.
But he's such a worker. He's such a grafter.
Jesus. Do you know what? If we can convince Balogun to come. And say, just give us a season and show us, because he's a big lump who scored. He's a big lump.
He's quite tall. He's
about 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a big lump,
but he's got 20 goals in an average team. And at one point,
which is quite tall, isn't it?
Yeah. And at one point, he had outscored Messi and Mbappe and whoever the other one is there.
Neymar's?
Yeah, he literally outscored, and I think he finished the season at least goals ahead of two out of those three. You know, he's the one you got to look at and say, right, what's he done this year? Right, he's gone to Reims.
I mean,
he did well. They finished average.
He said that he was like he had conversations with Arteta. And that he feels like he had grown up, and Arteta told him that he wanted him to leave a boy and come back a man, and he was all talking up coming back. And there was pictures of him, like showing pictures of him before he left and his fitness, and like he was totally ripped in the other photo. So they were trying to suggest, you know, like he's gone away and worked on himself.
He's American in every way. Who knows what's going to happen? Now he's American.
Yeah, no, but where I go fishing, that's Ream isn't far. Not that I've been to watch Ream, but their manager, he's English, and he didn't even have his coaching badges.
Yeah, they're fining him in every game, weren't they?
Yeah, every single game.
They're doing really well.
Is his name Salt or something? What was the guy's name?
No, that's the bloke that Tottenham tried to get slot. You're talking about slot.
Is it slot? His name's
no, but
slot.
That's the one that Tottenham were trying to get. Is he final manager or final won the Dutch league?
It's Will Steel. Is that was his name? Will Steel.
That's it.
Yeah,
the Wheel of Steel. So he didn't have his coaching badges.
He's got them now.
Yeah, he's got them now.
When he getting found about some like €20,000 every match.
Every single game, but
it was worth it.
You know, Ream have done quite well. I don't know where they finally finished up.
But
Balogun, like you say, to have got, yeah. But Ream are a team that are going down every season.
I mean, they had a dream, the Ream team, didn't they?
Yeah, the real Ream team, and they have coffee and cream,
and they do a lot of reaming, like Philip Schofield.
Hey.
No, in my days when I was younger, Ream meant good.
I think it did in a sort of only way as Essex days as well, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Proper Ream, mate, that is.
Yeah, proper Ream.
Yeah. But see, if we can get him,
We've got him, that's what I'm trying to say. He's our player. We don't need to go and get him.
Yeah, but that's a bit like Saliba.
Yeah.
Where Saliba's the best new signing.
I guess it's whether that we think he is ready to come back, or whether there's more to be done out with, you know.
Come on, you just banged in 20 goals a season and an average team.
As long as wherever he goes isn't managed by Frank Lampard.
Cream dream.
Exactly. You know, the thing is, though, the longer he stays away, the less he will want to come back.
It's the, what was that guy called? What is his name? Wellington, like a Brazilian we bought. We bought him, and we know his name. It was Wellington, but we never ever saw him. He never came.
There's loads like that, though. There's loads.
What the guy from Costa Rica? What was his name?
Joe.
Joe Campbell. Joel Campbell. Yeah.
You always get a few, didn't you?
You see that thing that was on Instagram? I'm going to mention Instagram a couple of times. The one was with Ibrahimovic. And the guy said, you're playing quite well, but there's a guy from, I don't know, Florida or whatever, called Carlos Vela, who's scored more goals than you. And he just went, how old is he? And he said, he's 29. He said, when I was 29, I was winning European Cups. Mm-hmm. And he's just out here in America. And that's made me laugh. Why would you try to convince, say that Vela is better than Ibrahimovic?
I tell you where he is better. When you're 3-0 up in the League Cup.
Yep.
And he comes on and chips someone. See you later. Give him the chip. Give him the old chip, Vela.
But the other thing as well, though, once Balogun decided he was American, all the suddenly got in his Instagram feed saying, we've got a great player, it's like, you all fucking hate football.
Have you been in America, John?
What?
It sounds like you've been in America.
John's got a VPN on.
Yeah, he's watching too much of Fox Sports. With what is it? Is it the old crazy gang guy? Who's the one who's in the commentary team in the studio? Robbie Earle.
He was Wimbledon, wasn't he?
Was he? Yeah, well, that's the crazy gang, isn't it? Robbie Earle and some other guy. I can't remember who the other guy is, but.
Who knows?
They'll have these American events. Have you seen them when they'll go to it's a special fan event here at Six Flags.
Yeah, but Henri, Jamie Carragher and one of the other ones, they do football for CBS.
Yeah. They'll all be all over the shop, won't they? But it's when they're actually in America and doing these fan events where it's like, this is not how football works. You don't all turn up in all your different kits to one place to like just celebrate full football. Kit
full kit wankers.
Full kit wankers. Well, as long as Balogun doesn't go on loan to, in somewhere where Frank Lampard's manager, he'll be all right, won't he? That's the long and short of it. Right, so what do we want to? What else do we want to give an award for? Or should we just move on to the quiz and be over and done with? You know what? It's been a fantastic season.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
We've reached new heights as a podcast because I don't think we... Did we come second one year? I can't remember. Since we've been doing this podcast, I don't think we've ever...
It's the least amount of podcasts we've done in a season.
we've managed to be in more efficient.
It's like in our best season since we've been doing podcasts.
No, there's been definitely some years we've done less. Do you know what? But they still listen, so let's keep giving
it. Yeah, we haven't done bad this season.
We haven't done bad, have we? We had that...
Yeah, we haven't done bad. No.
No. So let's do a quiz, shall we?
Go on.
We'll have a little chat about next season and what your predictions, but... let's do a quiz. It's the last quiz of the season, and it's all or nothing with the what did I call it? I can't remember.
What is it?
No, it's the theme of the Pops. Pick of the Pops.
Fucking hell. It's easy for you to say.
I'm on the beach. I've got my flip flops on already. Have you noticed? So, who wants to? What tunes do you want, Stuart?
Can I have? I'm hoping that we're going to do this to the squad in the summer. So I want Mikel Arteta, Mr. Edu, with his sunglasses on and his barbecue going. I want him to pump it up, Elvis Costello.
Peter Kay, car share. Pump that up.
Yeah, no.
John,
I'm going to go old school now.
Mm-hmm.
To have Yaz, The Only Way Is Up.
Brilliant.
Hey!
That was in Phoenix Nights as well, wasn't it? This is Yaz and she's going up. So
two good tunes.
Who went first last time, if you can remember?
I don't know. Last year.
I don't mind going first, mate.
Okay, right. So here are your four titles that to choose from. There is Athletics, Sport on Film. I feel like they might have already done that one. Chelsea or Acca, aka Nathan, aka.
I'll go with that one.
Or AKA.
Because the other lot sounds... but they all sound shit.
Okay, AKA, also known as your 10 questions start now. What soccer superstar... How is soccer superstar Ricardo Isenxon dos Santos Liete better known?
Fuck me.
Say that again.
How is soccer superstar Ricardo Isenxon dos Santos Liete better known?
He's got to be Brazilian.
Pele. Just say Pele.
Well, no, we know that's Nemenciento. That's Nemenciento.
Pele.
No, it's not.
No.
John, do you want to have a guess?
No, I don't know.
Ronaldo.
No, it's Kaká. Kaká.
Oh, Kaká.
Question number two. Which international rugby
that
union...
That question was Kaká.
Question number two. Which international rugby union team are known as the Cherry Blossoms?
Who gives a fuck his egg chasing? I'm not answering.
John?
I don't know. I don't do egg chasing.
Japan?
Correct. Ooh, I might give you a point for that. Let's see. Which Stuart, back to you. Question number three. Which football team are also known as the Seasiders?
Seasiders. Blackpool.
Correct. Which English professional darts player has the nickname Voltage?
No idea.
John?
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't actually know.
Right. It's Rob Cross.
Oh, don't care about him.
Brilliant. Who's Rob Cross?
He's the darts player.
That's good. At least he's a darts player.
He's called Voltage.
Oh, you didn't know that, John?
I don't watch a lot of darts anymore.
Question number five. Who was known as Super Brat?
Tennis.
Yeah. McEnroe.
You cannot be serious, Stuart.
I can.
Question number six. Which boxer had the nickname the Louisville Lip?
Oh,
come on.
What's his name?
The greatest of all
time. Joe Louis.
No, he's the greatest of all time.
John?
Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali is 2-2. Question number seven. In which sport might the hurricane have overcome the whirlwind?
Snooker.
Question number eight. By which nickname is American golfer Frank Zeller better known as?
Fuzzy.
Correct. Mm. Question number nine. Which Pakistani cricketer is also known as Boom Boom to his fans?
Pakistan.
Yeah.
Khan. Imran Khan.
No, John?
No idea.
It's Shahid Afridi. And finally, number 10, what organisation do the initials WADA, WADA, stand for?
It must be Geordie, isn't it? What the fuck going on?
I don't know if you've gone back to the Pakistani. I thought it was Shahid Afridi.
Oh, no, sorry. WADA, man. What's WADA? WADA. The Women's Association for Dental Athletics.
Brilliant. Shall I give you an extra point for that? Because it's the end of the season. I might give you that. It's the end of the season. John, any idea?
No.
Okay. It's the World Anti-Doping Agency. So drugs were involved in some way, like a dentist. So that's 5-2 at the minute. I've decided to let John have two points. You can buzz in.
But John knows all the answers to these, though, Matt.
Here's your four titles, John. On Four Legs, Racket Sports, Numbers, or Football.
I was going to go football because I thought, I'm not going to answer any about football anyway.
Oh, no. I'll just see what the first question is. Right. Yeah. John Stewart's going to be livid.
Tony Adams played for.
It's fucking easy questions. Right. Question number one.
Fuck off, Danny. Fuck off.
You still do your Geordie accent?
Well, read him out in Argentinian or something. So he doesn't.
Well, no, I'm reading the first out in Latin. Es facer, meaning to dare is to do, is the motto of which English football club?
No, for fuck's sake.
Pile of shit.
Correct. Question number two. Bobby Moore, Martin Peters and Jeff Hurst all played for which club when they won the 1966?
Thanks, man.
Sorry?
West Ham.
West Ham, correct. 5-4. Question number three. Who's the first football manager to win the Premier League?
Man United. It was Man United, wasn't it? No, it was 91-92. That was Leeds. Maybe that's Alex Ferguson.
Correct. Yeah, you avoided the Kenny Dalglish pitfall there. In 2019, against which county did England play their 1,000th international football match? Oh, what country?
England, oh, Germany, gone.
No, Stuart, any idea? I mean, it's absolute shock.
Brazil.
No, it was Montenegro.
Did Harry Kane play? Did he score five goals?
And in quite a racist way, this quiz has split the word Monte and Negro into two words. racist quiz. Right, so question number six. Which team holds the dubious record of accumulating the lowest number of points, 11, in a Premier League season?
Oh. That I don't know, but I know Stuart does. I'm going to go with like Sunderland.
It's a good shout. Stuart, any idea?
Well, he said the one I thought. If it's not them, then I'll go Nottingham Forest.
No, it's Derby County, actually.
Oh,
really?
11 points, Derby County.
That's shit. That is proper shit, though, isn't it?
It's, I'm just going to let you know, it's five. It's five shit. All. It's five all at the minute.
No, but I was saying, no, for 11 points, was it 40 games then? I mean, that's proper shit.
Yeah, that's proper shit. is that the one time they got lost to Liverpool 9-0 or something as well? I don't know. Anyway, right. Probably. Question number seven. Now, think very carefully about this. Which club remained unbeaten during a whole Premier League season in 2003 and
2004? Fucking hell. Fuck's sake.
I think it was Arsenal.
Correct. John takes the lead at 6-5. Which colour is predominantly associated with Blackpool FC?
Orange.
Correct. The Bernabeu is the home of which famous football club?
What was that?
The Bernabeu. The Bernabeu is the home of which world famous football team?
Now you say this right, yeah. Right. I actually get this confused.
Okay.
And I do, honestly. And therefore you will laugh.
John, don't milk processes.
No, I'm not, because I can never work out whether it's Barcelona or Real Madrid.
Okay, so you've got a choice of two there.
The thing is, I'm going to make myself look a white knob for not knowing. I'm going to go Real Madrid, correct. And I bet it's Barcelona.
No, it's correct.
Where did Barcelona
Camp Nou.
Is it the Santiago? Hang on.
Oh, you're trying to come into some sort of legal loophole here, Stuart. Have you got 101 allegations against John?
It take 4 years to resolve. Come on.
John's been swatting up this year.
He has, hasn't he?
I've never said he's not will improve. I reckon our most improved player this season has been John on the quizzes.
Hold on a minute. I had a darts one where I got 8 out of 10. I had a boxing one where I should have got 10 out of 10. Yeah. I got 8, 9. Snooker one, I think I did quite well. So it's really just sports I'm interested in.
So last game of the season, it's meaningless anyway, John, so smash it out of the park. Which team won the 1994-95 Premier League season?
Right, this wasn't... Oh, it is the Blackburn one, isn't it?
Yeah. Kind of gave it away.
It was a trick question for a minute, because I thought 93-4, that must be United World in.
Yeah. There you go.
Well done, John. I'm glad I got my tune on last.
Cheers.
Brilliant. So, this is... I forgot what song you picked. Bloody hell. The only way is up. This is Yaz and she's going up.
You know what? I'm actually currently watching The Punisher in silent. It's the film with John Travolta, a real bad one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I tell you what I've really enjoyed is the last season of Succession. Have you watched Succession or?
No.
I really wouldn't recommend that you watch Succession.
I've just watched the three series of Picard, which I enjoyed. And Strange New Worlds, which I'm enjoying. But I rewatched Boston Legal, which is on Disney. And if you've never watched Boston Legal, William Shatner and James Spader are just some absolutely awesome. It's one of the best shows.
Is that like there's about 20 seasons of it or something like that? Or is it
No, there's only five.
I enjoyed
the things they do and the things they say and the things they get up to. And watching James Spader give a closing in call is an unbelievable thing to watch. But watching William Shatner do some of the stuff he does is fucking hilarious. So, yeah.
So, that's your recommendation for the summer? Watch all of Boston Legal.
I watched Charlie gave me a recommendation the other day. It's not the biggest thing in the world, but Netflix, it's quite an old film, Drive.
Oh, yeah, I love that film.
Watched that.
That really that really turns... At one point in the movie, it seems quite tame as a movie, and then it just turns with Christina
Hendricks.
Reminded
me of John Rambo.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Rambo because Rambo doesn't say a lot, and then all of a sudden, bang. Not that he says a lot more, but he just changes.
Yeah.
Like Nobody. I watched me and Charlie watch that while I was fishing again.
Yeah, that's a good film.
I want to see the bloke out of Back to the Future and the RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan go at it. With Bob Odenkirk.
Funny enough, there is a Wu-Tang Clan
TV program. Series, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into it. I don't know why.
Can you not?
Not really. I just couldn't kind of suspend my disbelief that they were the Wu-Tang Clan. I don't know why. But what have I enjoyed over the past? I quite enjoyed... there's a movie, what's it called? It's like a Finnish movie about a guy basically fighting the Germans single-handedly in World War II.
Oh, is that
on the Western Front?
Yeah.
No, it's just come out of the cinema, actually, but I've seen it. Let's have a quick look. It's called Sisu.
Someone said about that.
I also watched a bit of Ben Affleck in Hypnotic, where there's like a hypnotist who's committing crimes and getting people to join in through hypnotism, and it's quite fun.
Have you watched Another Round?
I haven't watched that yet. I really should watch it. Is it really good?
Hannibal in the TV series.
Yeah. Right. Did they remake it, or is it like actually a foreign language film?
I think it might be foreign language, but it's about four teachers who apparently, if you're on a level of alcohol, you keep your blood content level up to one or two.
Yeah.
You can improve, like, whatever. Some people, the dance scene at the end is just worth the whole film because he dances. But also, he's in Polar. Have you seen Polar?
Yes, yeah. That's quite fun, isn't it?
Just think of John Wick because there's some great fucking scenes in it. You know, so
yeah, I'll have to give that a go. Yeah, and I've been watching. Have you been watching the thing with the bodyguard guy, Citadel, on Amazon?
No,
it's like sort of it's basically James Bond, the TV series, where they're like part of a secret spy ring. There's like there's a bit where he's on skis being chased away and he does a backflip, but he's not showing off and that sort of thing. Yeah, that's good.
See, what I did watch the Trident scene, surprisingly, was Our Friends Up North.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That you really lent into. What have you lent into there? Have you just got Disney Plus and you started watching everything? BritBox, yeah.
Now, the Disney Plus, there's a lot. I'm watching Trust Me at the moment. I just watched the first series, which is obviously, you know, that me and Jodie Whittaker are having a secret love affair. and she's dressed up as a nurse in it for some of the time, then is dressed up as a doctor. So, of course, things just improve so much more.
So,
it's fine, mate. Yeah, funny enough, though, I've had one of the things I've had recently is I had to go and see a osteopath because several years ago I was getting like pain, severe pains all down my arm, pins and needles in my hand. And it worked out that I had three of my discs or vertebrae, whether it was, touching the spinal cord.
Oh, right.
Which is what caused it. When I had my darts weekend, obviously that did cause me a certain amount of pain in my arm anyway, but I was still getting pins and needles. So I went to see this osteopath. She goes, "So why did you pick me?" And I went, "Because you got 5 stars. So she went, "Oh, okay." I had acupuncture for the first time, which just doesn't hurt. So if everyone says about acupuncture, do it. You don't feel a thing. And then last time I went, she said to me, "Well, I'm just going to crick your neck." And I laid there and just went, "Please don't." She went, "Well, wait, because I'm too scared. I'm scared." She just sat there and went, like, she's only this little oriental girl. And she just went, "You know," he says, "it's very difficult to kill someone by cricking their neck." She said, "Most people die of shock." I went, "Oh, right." And then she cricked it, and I went, "Okay." And then she did it again. And then rather than me being on my, which my other osteopath used to do, so lay on my front and they push down on your back and crick your back, she kind of like held, I was on my back, she kind of held, she goes, "I'm just going to crick your back." She kind of held me in her arms, like her arm under my legs and one arm behind my neck. And I literally just sat there and went, "Please don't do this." she was like, "Why are you so worried?" I went, I said to her, "I'm just really scared."
So all this acupuncture, John's had more little pricks than a Philip Schofield recruitment drive.
And the worst bit about it, Matt, is John feels deflated.
But that was my interest in last few weeks. Plus, wow. I'm just enjoying life up here. I've virtually stopped going to the pub now. Stopped playing dominoes and darts.
Why?
I can't get into it. You know, it's, you literally, the dart is like one leg of 501, which is fine, but you know, sometimes I don't get back till late, you know, and I'd like to be up at 5 a.m. to get in work at 7. And, you know, we don't start till 9. So it's, you know, especially if we're playing at home, you know, you get home, you have your dinner, you sit down, watch TV, and about 8:15, you've got to think, well, rather than I'm going to go to bed soon, I've got to get up and go and play darts. And when we did the Monday night league, because a couple of people that don't play Tuesdays played Mondays, I wasn't playing dominoes. So I was literally just playing darts, like one leg of darts. And yeah, all right, it's okay, it's a game of darts, but I couldn't really get into it. And I'm just not enjoying it anymore. This could be my last year of playing darts, because I've got a singles tournament in Wales in September, October, and I think that'll be... I mean, basically, I've been doing national darts longer than anybody else in the job, because Ronnie Claudine, who's about 90-odd, didn't go this. And if he don't go again, we was at the first
one.
You've
won it. You've got it.
He's in bed by eight. Oh, yeah. Ronnie.
So, I've been doing it longer than anybody else. And now I'm just at the point where I think it's too hard, too knackered. Literally, you know, when I was playing darts, I know it was like 10 hours both days, Friday and Saturday, about 10 hours of darts. You know, you finish about, say, 7. Literally, I can just about walk back to the room. I get something to eat, can just about walk back to my room, and I'll just crash out and I'm done. You know, it doesn't sound a lot when you're playing darts, but when you're playing solidly for hours,
And it doesn't intensity seem, of
to be honest, it doesn't seem a lot, but you know, from the hockey to the ball, he's 7'9". You imagine doing that 500 times. You know, it's literally, it doesn't sound a lot, but say it's like, I don't know, just under 16 feet, do it 100 times, well, that's 1,600. Do it 1,000 times, you know, it just gets a bit much, you know, and
maybe you could tie fishing wire to your darts and just like yank them out the board, pull them
get
back
a big magnet,
Yeah, I'm just getting too tired for it. That's all it is.
So, our first game, what happens this summer exactly with football? Do we go into some sort of European Euros qualifying or something?
I don't know.
England, England are. And that's a load of shit. Oaks Saka's hurt and he can't play. And so the fixture list must come out in 2 weeks' time.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because the season won't. If you think the Champions League is the last game, is it the last game? That's like the 12th of.
Which isn't. Yeah,
no, Saturday the 10th of June.
Yeah, Saturday the 10th. So then I'd imagine 3 weeks later I'll meet up to get going again.
We're not in the Nations League, that's the thing, isn't it? So
there's
straight after that, there's Netherlands versus Croatia in the semi-final of the Nations League, and then Spain, Italy in the other semi.
Oh, so there's still games.
Yeah. So they go straight into that after the Champions League final, and then I don't know. I guess what else happens next? Have Arsenal announced what dates they're playing in America and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've got lots of, I think we've got
Barcelona.
We've got an All-Star 11.
MLS All-Stars on the 20th of July. That's only in a couple of weeks, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and then we've got, I think we play Man United and Barcelona, don't we?
You'd have to get up half an hour early, John. It's on at 4:30 in the morning. Man United, 10 o'clock at night. Barcelona, 11 o'clock at night. You'll be well asleep by then, John.
I will be.
But it's all, like I say.
You still got my silver, Stuart?
Yeah.
I
haven't, John, to be fair, mate, I haven't used it, but if you renew it, I'll send you the money.
It's already been renewed. I've already taken it out of my account.
Oh, okay. So send
that
me
really
your details
pissed me off.
Again.
Honestly, John. That really pissed me off, though. No, it's John. Not that. It's just that, yeah, I'll send it on to you.
I will pay you, mate, because, like I said, I don't want you to pay for it, but I have still got the card.
Yeah. Oh, they won't be a card soon, will it? Is it all on an app or some shit like that?
Yeah, but I'm going to disagree with it because, you know, this is my biggest bug with all this. It's like, and I've said this to Arsenal before, that if I want to take my mum, my dad, neither of them have got smartphones, would never clue. So they might say, well, okay, then just download your ticket and, okay, that's fine. Paper copy, whatever. But the other option is like, well, what have I got to do then? Pass me phone back through the turnstile if I put them both in my wallet?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not anti it, but I'm just like, it makes life awkward.
It's digital exclusion. That's what it is.
But
you're excluding people on the grounds that they don't have a smartphone.
All I was trying to say, and I want to keep the cards. You know, I always remember to take them and just do what I've got to do. But don't make it. It's almost like I understand why they're doing it, because you can't pass cards on.
Yeah.
So you know, I get that. I do get that. But at the same time, and I've said this to Arsenal every time I renew my season ticket. Oh, they're both in your name. Would you like to move? No, I'm not. They're both in my name because I take my four kids, anyone's, not obviously at the same time, but I'll take any one of them at any one time. I can take my mum, my dad, a mate, whoever. It doesn't matter. Mm. I said, but they're both in my name. I understand the terms, conditions of everything about Arsenal Football Club, and that's my choice. So I said, so don't make it that you can't, you know, and I will, because they'll go, well, just get him to put it on his smartphone. Well, he hasn't got a smartphone. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you can't spread it. You can't swap it between four kids, can you?
Exactly.
If you want to take your kids, then you're only allowed to, I mean, you can only, most people can't afford to take anybody, but...
That's my gift to me, Matt. My gift to me. You know, that's my bit of pleasure. That and fishing in France, they're my two pleasures. So, yeah. And I get, you know, I was chatting to a couple of mates and they're going, how the fuck do you go when it's pissing arbor rain and shit and crap? And I just go, because it is. That's my release. It's my get out. So, but... At the same time, don't just give me we've had a plastic card all season. Leave it like that so you can just hand your ticket over and buzz in and buzz out.
Mm.
You know? Why make it tricky? Why make it tricky? So
I remember young Brendan and Richard, his mate, would turn up in the pub and be trying to bloody... they'd been out all night and they'd be trying to bloody charge their phone in the pub. How are they going to get in if their bloody phones run out of battery?
I think Brendan goes over a Millwall now, doesn't he?
No, he does go over a Millwall now. Or Brighton, I saw him at Brighton the other day, weren't he? Anywho, yeah. He said about that, the better. We're looking forward to the season, aren't we, boys? And I thank you both for sticking with it this season. We've had our ups and downs, but it was mostly ups. And
we've done all right. It's not been
long. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you,
cheers,
John.
Cheers for doing this, mate.
Kept me sane.
It's been a pleasure.
Kept me sane in bad times. And yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, Arsenal have given us some great times this season, and we all needed that a bit this year. And I'm just glad that we got to the end of the season. We're back in the Champions League. Lots to look forward to.
And I needed the love of a good woman, though, really, to be honest.
Well, I mean, if you buy, there are some very sophisticated love dolls now.
And you can pump it
up. Yeah, that's what I was going for. take it away, Elvis. See you next season,
Tony
boys.
Gunners.
Come on, you guys.
Talking about love dolls, I will say this. Talking about love dolls, right? Yeah, if you do watch Boston Legal, literally William Shatner's love doll. Absolutely superb. So,
there we go.